Live from an undisclosed location somewhere in the greater North Americas, it's time for Gotta Say It with Dr. Marvin Williams and Matt Ryan, the only sports show that goes around the stats, cause stats are boring. And now, your host, Dr. Marvin Williams and Matt Ryan.
And welcome back to our GSI cast number 755.
It's actually four.
Okay, or four, whichever comes first. With Matthew, Aloysius, Octavius, Ornthal, Gerard, Mickey, Ryan, the 17th, a half, and the third, and the fifth, and the 17.7.
Makes me more Irish than I actually am.
Hey, aren't we all? I'm Marvin Williams, podcasting from parts unknown.
We keep changing locations, and I do not understand why.
The feds.
The feds.
The feds. It's a long story. Trust me.
Why do I smell curry?
That's right, because we're on the shores of Kazakhstan now.
Oh, getting ready.
So, speaking of which, on the shores of Kazakhstan, that's where you can find Major League Baseball tickets, because apparently nobody else is buying them anywhere else in the United States. Who won the World Series last year?
San Francisco Giants.
You sure?
I'm pretty sure, yeah. Okay. I watched a couple of those games.
Yeah, okay. Because here's the thing. NBA, lockout, worried. NHL, lockout, worried. Major League Baseball, nothing happened their season.
Nope.
Felt like a lockout.
They made money.
Felt like a lockout and a strike. Why? Because no one's going to the games. What are they doing wrong? What's going on? How can you have a product that's supposed to be America's pastime, which now we know is no longer baseball but football? How can you have a product so trenched in the history of this country on a year in which you have the movie coming out about the guy who changed the shape of this country, not just racially, but culturally and socially? And that was Jackie Robinson, for those of you who are not paying attention. And if you heard our very first GSI broadcast from November 29th, 2009, my one more word was strictly on Jackie Robinson, the fact that he broke into the major leagues a little less than 8 miles away from where we were broadcasting that day. And they finally did a movie in the style of Ray and the other biopics that you get that I believe is probably more on point, because Rachel Robinson, God bless her heart, but that woman will protect the legacy and name of her husband until the day, unfortunately, that we won't have her anymore. But she makes sure everything is right and right on point. And she wants the story told right, because she knows what type of man she married. And that's the way he wanted it. And those of you who do not know anything about Jackie Robinson, other than the fact that he was the first Black American player to go to play Major League Baseball, if you can, try to YouTube his Hall of Fame induction speech. In a time when he should have been talking about himself and what all he did, you know what he's talked about? The fact that there was not a Black manager in Major League Baseball. He talked about the fact that there were still very few minorities playing Major League Baseball. In a time when he should have been talking about himself and what he meant to baseball, he talked about everyone else and how we still need to make things right.
I was sitting at work the other day, and a program came on, and it's about the business of sports, and they ended up talking about minority players in baseball because 42 is coming out.
Right.
And they mentioned the San Francisco Giants, who recently won the World Series, which we referenced about a minute ago. Zero African-American players on their team.
Yep.
Zero.
The Atlanta Braves have an relatively, racially speaking, all-Black outfield for the first time since the days of, what was it, Eddie Matthews, Hank Aaron, and Keanu Reeves, or whoever else.
Warren
was
Spahn?
He's a pitcher.
He was a pitcher, but he was on the team.
Yeah, yeah. I guess he was Black, too.
I don't remember the third one.
Yeah, I remember. Yeah, yeah. I think it was Denzel Washington, Brad Pitt. That's who it was. So we're making fun of it.
But it's a problem.
But here's the thing. Now, granted, is it Major League Baseball responsibility to get more Black Americans involved with the game? They say it is, so they take the heat. So they do all these RBI programs and things like that, all these initiatives to get Black Americans involved in the game. And a time when more Black Americans. Now, you know what? Jason Hayward, the young outfielder with the Atlanta Braves, if he was a different kind of kid, by all rights, he probably would have played basketball. He has the height. has the bill. He even looks like LeBron a little bit, doesn't he?
A little bit.
However, he grew up in a town, and if I think I said this during our broadcast when he first came on.
We discussed him before.
My nephew Lawrence, who's now serving in Germany, he's with the U.S. Army. He's now stationed in Germany. Played little league and high school ball against Jason Hayward. Also played against, who was the other outfielder for the Braves who came to the Mets and didn't do well up with the Mets.
Oh, I know who you. Last name's Millage.
No, Millage too, but the other with the F. Last name is a F. This blows. I can see his face. I can see him up here with the Mets trying to grow a beard, doing a horrible job. Ugh. Oh, my goodness. This is horrible. I can't think of the guy's name. My nephew played against a lot of these cats. up to and including, by the way, for 1 year, he overlapped with Brian McCain. So Jason Hayward is the exception to the rule that he could have played any sport he wanted to play. He decided to play baseball, but he is the exception to the rule. And now you have this case where a lot of young kids of color, Black American or otherwise, they look at basketball. It's an easier end. They don't need to go to a baseball field. You can do it by yourself. You have other options that you don't have for basketball. That in baseball you need a team. You just can't go out there and fungo with yourself. You can't go out and catch fly balls by yourself. You need feel. You need time, and it's not Major League Baseball's responsibility to make. They can't possibly do it to make it totally available to these young men.
It's also the money, the immediacy of the money. Because exactly. You can make more money off the jump in the NBA. You can make more money off the jump in
football.
In football. In Major League Baseball, there's no immediacy. You don't just... It's a rarity when you're a guy like Bryce Harper or Steven Strasburg where you get called up immediately. There is a process. You need to learn.
Right.
It's a developmental... or you go through the developmental organization, then you get called up, and then maybe you become a star.
And much like with hockey, Major League Baseball... not available in the community as a regular, and therefore if the interest is not there, people are not going to watch it, people are not going to want to go to it, and if people are not going to watch it, not going to want to go to it, people are not going to want to play it.
And also,
regardless of what color they are, by the way.
And also, we're an ADD generation. Yes. Generation of kids I grew up with, I grew up loving baseball, I still love baseball, but I can barely watch a Met game because it feels long, it feels prodding, and unless you're at the ballpark... you're just sitting there for 4 hours.
And now ballparks are made to be shopping malls and theme parks.
They're museums that turn into mausoleums because they're nothing but empty.
Absolutely right. And the idea of what baseball means now to this country is completely different. You see that with the World Baseball Classic. You see that when you see all these countries who come up with these baseball teams that, you know, these, you know, and yes, we have all these developmental leagues and all over these places. However, if they're for sports to survive, sports cost money to a community and to people. People eventually make money from sports, but sports cost a lot of money. And you need resources. You need people. You need time. You need facilities. Sports survive when they do what? We talked about this with the NHL. We talked about this with the NFL. We talked about this with all these other sports who make themselves available in the community. Once you do that, you have a place to go. You have someone who will watch you, wants to experience you, can't wait to grow up and be you. And that's why college football will always do so well. You see kids that are 2 and 3 months old wearing Georgia Bulldog diapers, you know, USC t-shirts. I'm going to be a Trojan. Those things mean something. And that's why those sports will last forever.
And basketball, which is the cheapest of all sports.
Yes.
All you need is a ball and a hoop. And you may not even need the hoop. You just might need the ball.
Exactly.
The amount of programs. And I've worked for a basketball organization the past few years as an announcer. And I see kids from all walks of life, all neighborhoods, from as far as Staten Island to as close as Bay Ridge by where I live, coming to this gym Friday nights, Saturday afternoons, Sunday mornings. They show up in their gear. They play basketball. And that's all they do, all they want to talk about. It's a closer and more tangible thing. You can play basketball anytime. You can play football pretty much at any time.
Yep.
Baseball,
not so much.
No. And it's also, the go back to the George Carlin argument. It's pastoral. It's slow. It's very homesy and folksy. And it's become passé to a certain extent.
And one thing, though, that the lower income community does not have is time.
Yep.
You work 3 jobs to pay your bills. You work 4 jobs to feed your family. You know, come on. You don't have time. You got to have time to do it. And that's not Major League Baseball's fault.
No,
it's not. So they can't take deed for that.
But what is their fault, though, is becoming the icon of the luxury sport.
Right.
And football.
Over golf.
Over golf.
Which is surprising. What a flip.
Because baseball used to have 10 cents, get you into the game, and you still have a little bit of money over to buy a bag of peanuts. But now, for me to go watch the Mets play San Diego, the San Diego Padres on opening day, guess how much the cheapest seat at Citi Field was?
Oh, it's got to be what, 3? 2?
$35.
Oh, 30. Oh, I got you. Right.
To sit in the upper deck where you can barely see Colin Cowgill in the outfield, where the only thing you can see is Kirk Neuenheis's name, it's because it's so long. And you're sitting up there with the rabble-rouser drunk Met fan. And
yeah, my Uncle Ray Ray.
Yeah, and I love sports, and I love sports fans, and I love the culture of sports. But when I sit down to watch a baseball game, watch a hockey game, watch a football game, if you're obnoxiously drunk and you're sitting next to me and you're yelling...
He's a bum!
No, that I'm fine with. But let's go, Mets! Pop and piss his wife.
Oh, that's Mont Lucy.
Yeah,
you're that's Mont Lucy.
Oh, perfect example. Earlier this, we're recording this in April, I think, and at the start of the month was WrestleMania weekend.
Right.
And I did not go to WrestleMania, but I did go to the WWE Hall of Fame.
Oh.
I paid $86 to sit in the 200 section of Madison Square Garden. Or the 100 seconds. I paid a lot of money for a halfway decent seat.
Okay.
And it was about 8 o'clock at night when this happened. And it was wrestling shows earlier that day. And it's in Midtown Manhattan where the bars are open.
Awesome.
And I'm sitting next to this woman. Nice woman. Attractive woman. And the thing about the WWE Hall of Fame is they ask you to show respect and let people speak. And because it's a Hall of Fame ceremony.
Right.
And wrestling fans are animals. I love them, but they're animals. And I have this woman yelling, "Boo! Boo! Shut up! Undertaker! Woo!" And I was like, I wanted to look at her and go, "Shut up!" And then I got the drunk ones behind me booing a lady's husband because she was attractive and she wanted to thank her husband. They were booing a lady because her speech was going a little bit too long. And I'm like, I felt like Hunter S. Thompson at the Kentucky Derby.
Great analogy.
I just...
Great analogy.
It was...
The lack of awareness in protocol and social practice when it comes to a lot of fans in sports now has gotten out of hand. We see that in baseball a lot because it is a daily grind. It is a daily... And you see it come out with the athletes, and you see it come out with a lot of fans as well, too. And we'll talk about that on the second half of this GSI cast here on From Parts Unknown.
Hey, folks. This is Matt Ryan, producer of GSI and overall nice person. You can follow GSI on Twitter at Gotta Say It Radio. You can also find us on Facebook by searching Gotta Say It, or you can go to our website, gottasayitradio.webs.com, for that and more information. Also, you can email us anytime you want, gottasayitradio@gmail.com, except for 4 a.m. Who emails someone at 4 a.m.? Seriously.
Trying to buy tickets to a Major League Baseball game. trying to buy tickets to any professional sports event is, for many people, financially irresolvable.
Mm-hmm.
And because you can follow a team on Twitter or a writer on Twitter or you can make your voice known with internet muscles. A lot of that behavior is replicated now when we see what's going on in the stands now.
Yep.
You know, the Jets go to Cleveland. The guy sees a kid in a Jets jersey, decides to tackle a little 3-year-old kid, put the kid in the hospital. You know, we've seen so many things of, you just see, how did you get let outside? You know, why were you not on a leash in somebody's backyard? You know, when a person acts like that. And we see this thing now. Major League Baseball lives in this, and I think in a lot of ways, this bifurcated world. You see, on one end of it, it costs $100 to go when she who was brilliant and beautiful and I went to the Red Sox game. It was, we got seats right behind home plate.
Wow!
But it was, we were basically the 14th row up, right behind home plate. And it was, the tickets alone were nearly $500.
Jesus.
For both of us, somewhere in that range. And, you know, between that and the parking or whatever, you know, the night, you know, and I bought a jersey. We got her some stuff because she went to school at Emerson. You know, for those of you know, I did my doctorate of music studies at BU, Boston University. You know, so, you know, the town that Boston holds a lot for us. So, you know, we made it a day. You know, we hung out in the city all day. We walked around. We ate at the stadium. We did the whole thing, you know, and it was worth it. It was a great time to go see the Red Sox. It was a great time to go and see a stadium that was celebrating its 100th year of existence. You don't get a lot of that anymore in pro sports either.
15th anniversaries are big for baseball parks.
Exactly. So here you are. And for the most part, I would say this with few exceptions, for the most part, the Boston fan base was pretty solid. A lot of people thought I was Manny Ramirez for some reason.
Do you check the stuff that's going on at the top of your head?
No, the dreads. Yeah. My guy, I guess that's it. Because I'm saying,
also, the fact that you were walking around yelling in a Dominican accent.
Yeah, you know, that gets me in trouble a lot. It gets me in trouble a
Did
lot.
Did you see... Manny Ramirez is playing for, I believe, a Taiwanese baseball team.
I'm not surprised.
No, but I saw this on Deadspin,
mm-hmm.
and the fans gravitated to Manny. They love Manny. They bought a poster. They made a poster for Manny, one of the fans, and it was the wrong Dominican outfielder.
Oopsie.
Yeah. Oh.
Ooh.
But to get to what you were saying about...
Sorry, I'm just...
No, I was just trying to make that seamless as possible.
Go ahead, make it seamless, because I'm going to keep laughing about that for a minute.
Going to a Met game for me,
right.
and the Mets this year have been the most common. They're like a husband that is trying to get you back.
Right.
Because if your birthday falls in
a with, year.
No. If your birthday falls in within a day when the Mets are away or off,
mm-hmm.
you have a chance to get free tickets or cheap tickets.
Nice.
On Groupon, you can look it up right now.
Wow.
I've got it sent to me from a friend of mine. You can get $25 box level seats.
Wow.
Against the Chicago White Sox or the Cincinnati Reds.
Okay.
That's not bad.
There's
an array of deals. I could have went to today's game, but this is better than watching the Mets play the Phillies and get assassinated. But I just... It sucks because the Mets are looking really good.
Right.
They're in the middle of building up a great young team.
Yes, they are. Yes, they are.
And I don't want to go because of... It's basically past ills towards the ownership group.
Right.
It's anger at the fact that they've built this massive ballpark.
Citibank Robert Field.
Yeah. None of it's for the fans.
No.
There's a Verizon store in there. And did you hear about Amway?
You know what? No.
They put an Amway in Citi Field.
Wow.
The first Amway store ever
is in
Citi Field.
You can't make that up.
I'm not making it up.
You can't. And that's like, talk about detachment from the fans again. Talk about detachments away from your people. Come on, really? And this idea, here you are, and I know you are an avid Mets fan. One of the first things I knew about you were you were a Giants fan, diehard. You were a Rangers fan, diehard. And you were a New York Mets fan, completely diehard. One of the first things I know about you, as a student sitting in my class, I knew that. And what I'm always amazed at is the way that whenever we get a chance to talk about the Mets, the pause in your statement before you go crazy, because it's almost as if the ownership is purposely trying to upset you.
But I know they're not, but
it feels like it.
It feels like it because you go through your entire childhood and the Mets are good 2-3 years maybe. 1999, 2000, which I don't talk about, and Carlos Beltran in 2006, 2007. I tried to I've rage blocked that whole game with snip. Andy Chavez's catch is in my main memory forever. But seeing Carlos Beltran with
the bat on his shoulders,
standing in my kitchen with my hands wrapped around my head, just
makes you feel good, doesn't it?
Oh, it makes me.
I love the smell of Mets in the morning.
But back to my point, it's like you're building this, you're trying to rebuild all this goodwill, especially because you have the All-Star game there this year.
Yeah.
On my birthday. The All-Star game is on my birthday this year. And I'm probably not going to afford to go. But the primary issue is the Mets just, they can't do two good things without doing something stupid.
What does that mean? It means you have an ownership that cannot get out of its own way. You have an ownership like me with my Metropolitans, who you want to be the star. You want to be the star.
It's something I call little brother syndrome.
And it's interesting because we actually had this discussion on the ride in today when you were in my trunk, was about, you have the little brother syndrome of being the Mets versus your big brothers, the Yankees, the Jets being versus your big brothers, the Giants. And then you have an idea of these ownerships that in some ways, and I think this is more so with the Jets than it is with the Mets, and I could be wrong, but you have an ownership that's completely disconnected from its base, its fan base. And here's what I mean when I say disconnected. I mean, there is this idea that I want to give the fans what they want in order to get them to buy tickets. So if that means Tim Tebow, if it means signing Pedro Martinez, which I'm really glad about, because without the Mets getting Pedro Martinez, the Boston Red Sox wouldn't have gotten Clay Buchholz. So thank you very much for that one. The idea, I know I had to get that in there. You do these things with your team because you think they will be popular for your fan base. And what your fan base really wants are you to win. Be consistent. I would rather learn somebody. I would rather learn about a new signee and get to enjoy them on a winning team than you get in a name guy a la Brett Favre and the Jets, which whatever, just because it's going to be a splash. That means nothing for the record. It means nothing for, you know, and it's that reality. It's that reality to me, to those two ownerships, why I say they're disconnected. They think they're doing something that's going to sell tickets, and what they're doing is something to basically make the fans talk about them, but eventually it alienates them from the team because it doesn't make the team better. And you have to make the team. In order for people to go, you need to be winning. But here's the thing about baseball. It apparently doesn't matter. We know you don't sell tickets in Atlanta. Atlanta is rocking out. The Atlanta Braves this year are rocking out. They can't sell tickets, but then again, they also couldn't sell out a World Series game. Okay? So you have that reality. You go across to the Bay, San Francisco, a second world title in the last 5 years?
4 or 5, yeah. They won in 2010.
And they're giving away tickets? Come on. You have...
Well, it's also San Francisco in April.
One of your spokespeople, number 24. I'm sorry. The number 24 As far as I'm concerned, that's another number that should be retired forever. Willie Mays is one of your spokespeople. Yes, unfortunately, he just lost his wife. Prayers goes out to the Mays family. You have Willie Mays, the reason they invented the All-Star Game. You have that guy, your spokesperson, who, by the way, I'm sorry, he looks like he can play outplay half the guys suiting up right now anyway. You know, I'll take him. I'll draft him in a heartbeat. You know, you got this guy, and you still can't get people to come? And yes, you're right. It's San Francisco in April. I get that. It's beautiful out there. You have, you know, all the beautiful people, Keanu Reeves, Brad Pitt.
You really are obsessed with this is the second straight podcast where you reference them.
Got to, man.
Second straight time this show.
They're hot guys, man. You gotta represent hot guys. All right. You know, we all need a hot guy every now and then. So it was it was either reference them or Plaxico Burress. What do you want?
I thought he was on the list.
No, I got off the list.
Oh, we got off the list?
Yeah, that's Scar.
What is the list now? Because for those who don't know, we have a They Who Shall Not Be Named list on GSI. And it started with Stephon Marbury.
Yes.
I believe Jerry Jones was on for like 25 seconds.
Yes.
Once.
Yes, he's back.
Yeah, he's back.
Yeah.
That's going to be
We're talking about practice.
Allen Iverson's on that list.
Practice. We need to publish the list.
Yeah, we do.
And speaking of publishing the list, you can follow us via email. You can email the show at gottasayitradio@gmail.com. You'll be able to follow us on Twitter at gottasayitradio. Soon, you'll be able to get to us with our Facebook page with common updates and writings from your two esteemed members, well, Matthew and me. And then you're able to follow these podcasts on many other different venues, both in the United States and other third world countries that might not have electricity.
How about you shoot us a tweet right now at Gotta Say It Radio. Say who you think should be on the They Shall Not Be Named list.
Yes.
Put the name in. Hashtag Voldemort. And then we will assess them in a future episode, or shoot us an email. Why should this person be on the list and why should this person not be on the list? Like, right. Let's say Tyrann Mathieu.
Honey Badger.
A guy that
Honey Badger
is quixotic, potentially one of the more devastating people that could play in the league.
Who loves himself more than anyone should ever love a person.
Mm-hmm. He loves him some him. Do you think...
I love me some me!
I was waiting for you to do that. But do you think they should...
He's also on the list.
Yeah. Aw, why you gotta hate on Ricky for?
Like Ricky? I love Ricky. No, Ricky didn't say I love me some me.
Who is that again?
That's T.O.
Oh, that was T.O. Yeah. I feel bad now. Ricky, I'm sorry, Ricky.
Ricky never says me. Ricky don't say me. Ricky said Ricky.
Yeah. Going back to another guy that could play baseball still.
Absolutely.
I'd have him play shortstop for the Mets.
Absolutely. I have any position. Never mind. But he's too young to play for the Yankees. That's for sure.
He's too mobile.
That's right. He's only 60.
They had another one. They had Cervelli, their catcher, going to DL too now.
No way.
Yeah.
What?
I'm telling you, Hawkeye Pierce is managing that team, man. I'm waiting for Colonel Henry Potter to come out of the GM box.
Half the Yankees are going to be on Segways and scooter rounds.
Old Timers Day or Opening Day?
You choose. That's right. You pick it. That's right.
I think Whitey Ford can get a cup. If Andy Pitt can pitch six innings in the MLB.
And he's what, like, and Andy Pitt's what, like 149 years old? I mean.
Square root of pie.
With, ooh, pie. I love pie.
He's Prince symbol old.
He's Prince symbol. I think he could play for the Yankees, and he's only, what, 57?
Hey, he'd have the best walkout 58. Music.
Who's he going to witch? If you like the music you hear on the GSI podcast, and you remember the GSI broadcast, we'll eventually be coming out with the greatest hits of GSI. And we'll let you know when that's available at nowhere near you.
It's me crying into a snare drum for 79 minutes.
I smell Grammy. Thank you. Again, we thank you for listening to our GSI podcast number 758.95.
Four.
It was four. It was only four. Wow, feels like longer. Along with Matthew Ryan, my name is Marvin Williams, and we can't wait to catch you in the cyberverse soon because we go hard. Don't make it once, but can you make it twice?
This has been a presentation of the GSI Radio Network.